Welcome, listeners, to Shoujo, the Shoujo Anime Podcast, where I, Sarah, show my good friend Joe to Shoujo anime that's intended for girls to Joe. So Shoujo, the perfect name for the perfect podcast. No errors ever here. No technical issues. No, like,
we didn't have technical issues this time, though.
I know, thank God. It's
I do love how we bumpy just ass will episode. Not do not want to write down an opening. We're gonna say a new thing every time.
Okay, I don't know when. Okay, well, yeah.
Well, yeah. That's here. It is. This is the brand. We're in it.
Yeah.
Welcome to another adorkable episode of Chai Furu.
Yeah.
This time they go to a tournament.
Yeah.
We're abruptly, getting... suddenly, very quickly, we're just time skip at tournament.
Yeah. We gotta have the pressure cooker for character development.
I guess so. So.
But first, what have you been up to, Joe, since last week?
Since last week, I have been watching some anime. I've been watching Blue Eyed Samurai, which is the Netflix show.
Because
I have
Netflix. Is it a show or a movie?
It's a show. That's right. Oh. It's like,
how is it?
I don't know, like eight like episodes or something.
3D art style.
It is a 3D art style. I was not very hot on it at the beginning. It has picked up around episode like 4-5, which, you know, is good. It's also like 4 hours in, which is kind of a long time to pick up your episode.
Yeah.
Part of the problem I have with this. So like, okay, you know, action movies, right? Or like martial arts movies. And you could tell when they're good because
they have the loud sound effects that sound natural. The whoosh, all those kapow.
No.
No. What? Okay.
Wait.
Just nothing.
Wait, what is this? What kind of movies are you watching? Where
I
is
don't
the
know.
Sound effects at? Like Batman, pow, bam, kind of thing?
I don't know. Just like when they have like a sound to go with the punch, it's like very stock sound-esque, like unbelievable kind of slapstick comedy sounds.
No, okay.
I don't watch a lot of martial arts movies, okay?
Yeah, okay. What I was saying is that like you can tell when they're good because they'll do like long, like wide shots, right? Where you could just kind of see everything happening, just like all in a row. And like the more Hollywood way of doing it, because a lot of the, you know, actors can't do martial arts very well, is to have lots of cuts, like the Jason Bourne style, like the camera shaking. We're cutting every like half second to something else to like indicate action without actually showing you do it. They do that style in this show, which baffles me. The camera is constantly moving in all of the bad, like the action sequences, and it like makes me dizzy and is hard to watch
because it doesn't have the limitations
because it's animated, so like you don't have to worry about the actor not being able to do it because they're not real. You just make them do it, right? But the fact that they can't do that is like astounding. I am like baffled by how not engaged I am in any of the action scenes in this show that's about samurai action scenes. The other stuff's pretty good, though.
What's the best action you've seen in an anime?
Action? Like what do you, like martial arts action?
Battle choreography or something. Like,
I mean, there's like, you know, I'll watch a lot of like shonen stuff with like fights in it, but they're like, you know, people are using
monologuing
magic attacks. You know what I mean? Like, they're not combat based, right? Okay. It's not like we're punching each other.
Well, like, I feel like Naruto has this thing where when they do like, where they have like the more zoomed out perspective when fighting, and the art style becomes a bit more simplified to like make it easier, I guess, to animate all the physical combat. Looks really cool. I think they do a good job with it. Like the fight under the waterfall between Sasuke and Naruto. I feel like they did a good job with that. And I don't, the thing with shonen is that there's action, but like, it's always like interrupted by end of the episode. And then half the next episode is recapping that episode. And like,
okay, I don't think that happens anymore. That's an old thing.
I don't watch new shonen really that much.
You're watching like original run Dragon Ball Z. They clean that up in Kai. Like they have gotten away from doing that. Or you're watching One Piece, which airs week to week, so it has to, like, mostly recap, because coming up with an entire episode of animation every week is incredibly difficult.
Well, they should just...
not do that? They should just not do that.
A sustainable pace.
It's a disaster. I know people that are like, I'm going to start watching One Piece. And I'm like, dude, you gotta find the cut list, you know, where people cut down the episodes. You gotta do that. You cannot be sitting there watching the Dressrosa arc, the longest, most boring arc of all time.
Is it canon arc?
Yeah, no, they're all canon arcs for the most part. Like, all the newer stuff are. They don't really do filler that much. Okay. I don't see. But they, like, really slow roll everything. And what you're talking about, where, like, the first half is a recap and, like, some scenes are drawn out. It's exhausting. But getting back to fights. I'm trying to think of, like, good. I've, like, seen good fights before. I don't know. I'd have to think about it because I don't want to say something and then be like, oh, yeah, wait, that actually is super mid compared to this other thing I just remembered.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what battle is excited. I mean, I feel like Bleach season 2 had a lot of cool moments.
What's season 2? Which one's that?
When they first get to the
Soul Society.
Soul Society. I can't remember the name.
The best shonen arc ever. Yeah, I agree.
So, because it's lots of different fights that you can watch, not just one getting dragged out and like learning about your opponent while fighting. Because like, these are actually likable characters, not just throwaway villain ones. And
yeah. Remember when fights like accomplish something besides just looking cool? I feel like I'm just going to be a downer about new stuff again, where I'm just like, I don't feel like any of the modern stuff like really does anything interesting with the fights anymore. I feel like it's just like, look at this spectacle.
I feel like the most recent thing I've watched that has fights is Demon Slayer or My Hero Academia. Demon Slayer is just like, okay, I watched like the first season. I need to probably rewatch that. I do not remember that well, but.
Okay, yeah. But Demon Slayer, sorry, I didn't cut you off.
Yeah, Demon Slayer, it's like it's very much just a spectacle for the eye, but then I had to think, no one else is seeing this swooshy stuff. Like, it's just swords in reality, right? Like, they're not seeing cool flames coming off swords.
That isn't diegetic, like that's not actually happening, you mean?
Yeah, it's weird.
I don't know. The problem with Demon Slayer is that like the people they fight are just so nothing. They're just like one-off villain of the week guys. Yeah, so it's just like, I don't care about the spider kid. He's dead. I don't need his backstory, whatever. And the most, I don't know, I complain about this all the time. Have I complained about this with you? Where I'm like, for some reason, we have transitioned into a phase where a fight will happen, the bad guy will die, and then we'll get their entire backstory as they're dying.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think is the worst time ever to give me a backstory of a character when they're about to be out of the story. And I'm just like, why would I ever care about anything that's happening in the sequence?
Super does that, yeah.
Literally what it does. Like, all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
It's infuriating. I'm just like, I don't care about this dumb guy who had, like, a gimmick attack. Who cares?
I feel like Inuyasha had a lot of throwaway villains, too.
Oh, yeah, dude. I tried to watch that with some friends recently, and it's like, you just get into infinite spinning its wheels.
Yeah, I never watched it in its entirety. I just have the manga.
I feel like it's really hard to watch in its entirety.
Many characters come and go. It's wild.
Yeah, and none of it really matters, it feels like. I mean, because the core of Inuyasha is like the will they won't they thing, or like, is Inuyasha gonna get with Kagome or Kikyo, who's like alive again,
freaking wanted string. Oh my god, Kikyo.
And that makes almost no progress for the longest time because like we just keep doing these like random villain of the week things that I just don't matter.
Yeah, that's true. Or
and I'm like,
keep...
oh, okay.
Like, it's the whole Kohaku, Sango's brother, keeps showing up. And then, like, oh, is he good or is he bad? Da-da-da.
No progress. It's just, like, we do an episode, he leaves, end of episode. We do it again in 2 weeks. Like, it's just so much repetitive stuff.
Yeah. Especially if they don't, if the show never reflects on those things. So I feel like at least Bleach, like, references things learned in previous fights for Ichigo. Like he compares Bleach is his experiences.
Extremely good until the end of the Soul Society arc, and then it like totally just does nothing. And then it ends in a way that I think is ridiculous.
But all the like Wake Mundo and Roncar and Espada, like all that just sounds so cool. Like I like that they went with like it's Spanish? Just sounds cool. Yeah. Oh man.
Yeah. I mean, like it's cool, but it's all like there's just no. It's just got no juice left in it at that point. Yeah.
Get rid of those comedy characters. The stupid Roncar that like are goofballs. I don't
like them. I like them. They're goofy. No,
I hate them.
Aw. But one's like tall and the other one has a huge face.
We're here to save Orihime. Get serious.
But this is the problem. Like, the problem is that they just do the same arc again, but like less interesting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's always the chick that's got to be rescued. Don't love that.
But like the Soul Society one is way more complicated because it's like they're rescuing Rukia, who does not really want to be rescued but kind of does because she's kind of bought into like the weird cultish like outlook of the Soul Society, and like you get to the Soul Society and everything she's told you about it is just like not true up to this point, because she's been like your only source of information about what's going on there, and it's like totally wrong. Everybody's at each other's like throats. There's all this stuff going on, and then they just do the same arc again in Wake Mundo, but none of that stuff is happening. It's just like a very straightforward like, well, we just gotta save the princess, so let's go do it, and then they do end of arc. It's like so uninspired compared to how much is going on in the first one. It's like the contrast is crazy.
Well, I guess that's the only good one, really. I mean, the end of season one was cool. Like, if I ever rewatch, I'll like watch the last few episodes where it's, Byakuya and Renji coming in, and I don't know. You know when they like sell you on the like, oh, this person's so strong, their spiritual pressure's off the charts.
Yeah.
I was so buying into that. Yeah, I was like, yeah,
because it's cool. Who doesn't like a boss battle?
Yeah, and then the whole reveal with his dad. I was like, this can't be real. This can't be reality. Has to be some
that was weird.
Hoax.
There's a lot of weird stuff going on later on, but I still hold up. Like everything up to the Soul Society, like the end of the Soul Society arc, incredible. Like top tier stuff. Up there. Anyways. So Blue-Eyed Samurai, not reaching those heights, but it's fine.
Okay.
What about you, Sarah? What have you been doing?
What have I been doing? Been replaying or continuing my Dark Urge playthrough of Baldur's Gate, and then finally, stepped up and didn't leave Joe hanging out to dry with our campaign. So we played a little bit of that a couple days ago. And I feel like you hate the combat, and if it was just the like talky-talky stuff, it would be better.
I don't hate the combat in Baldur's Gate 3. I think like this is just the way D&D works, which is like early game combat in D&D just sucks.
Yeah,
it's just
that's true.
Because you're just constantly missing all the time. Your attacks never really land or do anything interesting. There's like very little I feel like you can actually innovate in it. Like most campaigns are like one shots that you play start you off at like level like 5 or something, because it's just literally not interesting at all. Because like we're level 3 in Baldur's Gate. You just can't do shit. It's like you only have a 60% chance to hit.
Yeah.
You know, you're just having to down potions all the time. It's like so monotonous that I'm just like, why would we even have to bother doing this?
Yes.
So I feel like that's the thing that, I mean, I played Divinity, right? It was the same thing with that. It'll get solved by the time we're level like 6
Maybe
or 5 or something. But like early game just sucks.
It was a game where they acknowledged that, where it's like you're all just a group of folks who are like very like have small training, but then like you're like, ah, shit, we got to get it together. And like Shadowheart, what the hell, girl? Get your eyes checked. And, just a more aware storyline about that part of it. Like, man, that was so hard. Like, barely scraped through. I don't know, but it's also easier like, because when I play by myself, I'll like have a podcast playing during combat. Because like it is very slow paced because of the turn based, and sometimes the AI takes forever for the opposing characters to decision make.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. There's just a lot. Like, I don't know. I feel like playing a game that is like supposed to be like D&D just kind of shows you the difference of like, or like the limits of what a video game is. Because I've also had problems in the past with like, so I, you know, I usually do a lot of talking in these games, and your ability to lie is extremely restricted. Because sometimes you'll just say things with like, I'll just say things with no intention of doing them, but it'll like railroad me to doing it because I said it, which is like not how I play, like not how I would role play a character where it's like, yeah, I'll just say stuff and then I'm not going to do it. Because I mean, come on, but I'll just tell them, I'm not going to tell them that.
Mm-hmm. That's
so
true.
So you have to like, having to declare your intentions all the time, I find also kind of grating just because like of like the type of character I like to play, but it's fine.
Yeah. Well, it's also like, if because the D&D like combat restrictions, like if more games could take the good parts of it and apply it in a smoother like experience, that would be nice. I mean, because like KOTOR is based off D&D rules, but it's not as like apparent that that's the case. It's more like immersive in a lot of ways, I guess, as far as like, it's not showing you deception and, you know, parentheses or whatever.
You don't want to see like literal dice rolls, you mean?
Yeah, I feel like a more, like gamified version of it, maybe. More leaning into the video game elements more than the board game ones. But like,
well, cause
it's just that we don't see this depth of like story and characters in other games like this very often at all. So it's like, I'll play it for this, for that, because I've never played D&D, but like even since I was a teenager, I was playing these games based off D&D because it had the elements I do like, you know. And also I feel like a lot of people are like, oh, I don't play D&D, I won't understand it, so they don't even try the game, is another thing.
Yeah, a lot of people get like really scared off by mechanics of it, like, oh, there's just like so many stats you gotta keep track of, and like that is true. I mean, I think there's like definitely like variants and stuff. Like I've played other tabletop role-playing games that are like much more streamlined in terms of like what you do, which I think is generally better. I don't really like the complexity. Like when I play role-playing games, I do not give a shit about how much weight I'm holding or like how long it takes to get to a place. Like these are things that are annoying in real life and annoying in a video game, or like in a game as well. But some people are really into that, right? Like there are entire games built around like inventory management, making sure that you like have supplies for certain things, that kind of stuff. So it's just kind of like who, it's just finding the version of the game that you want to play.
I
have some more games I've actually played that you mentioned. Video games.
Let's hear it.
I beat two games since last time we spoke. One of them is Slay the Princess, which is like a psychological horror-y visual novel kind of thing.
I've seen that. It's like black and white and all that.
Yes. Very cool art. Very fascinating game. Lots of interesting things going on there. It's like you are given the task to slay the princess. Are you going to do it or not? And there's like a narrator that talks with you, and you go through like scenarios of like, well, you could try this or you could do this, and then different things happen. And what you do the first time will influence how it goes forward in future iterations of it. And you're trying to like figure out, you know, kind of what's going on. You're like exploring the space a little bit. There's like this kind of broader storyline that happens. It's very interesting. It's like very fun. I'm not like a completionist, so I'm not going to like see all the different endings, but they're like all the ways things can go. But there are a lot of ways things can go. So you could spend like a ton of time in this if you want. So that one was really fun. Pretty easy. I mean, it's not hard to play. It's like a narrative game for the most part. The other one I finished after playing for a very, very long time is AI, The Somnium Files, Nirvana Initiative.
For fuck's sake, man, with that title.
This is the sequel to AI, Somnium Files. That they just kind of made with like the same engine and stuff like that. It is you know, in the same vein of like, this is basically just a story game. Like, it's just a visual novel, but it's like, you know, everything's 3D. You like do some interactive stuff. It's kind of an adventure. You can make some choices for some different things. It's just charming and fun. I just like the writing in it. I just think the world is like goofy and ridiculous. You play as a special agent in some an organization dude. Called Abyss. No, in this one you play as Mizuki. The girl in this, because it's like a time skip. And she's
but the
older
first
now.
One you do. Okay.
In the first one, you play as the guy. Yeah, you play as Date in the first guy. And the first one in this one, you play as Mizuki. Okay. You have an AI assistant that's like an eyeball that like sits in your eye and like you talk to it. You do a thing called Somniums where you go enter somebody's dreamscape to try to figure out information that they're either concealing or don't remember to help you solve the case. It's goofy. It's ridiculous. There's like a lot of stuff going on in it. It was a good time. I don't know. It's just fun.
The concept reminds me of there's this game that like the gameplay was kind of confusing, but the concept was interesting where like everyone basically is at the point where they have like some kind of tech ingrained in their heads. And that you can, and your like memories are stored there. And this chick like goes through the memories to learn things. And it's called Remember Me.
Oh, okay. I played that.
Okay. Yeah.
You can rewind it, right?
Yeah. I never fully got into it, but it kind of reminds me of that.
Yeah, that's like an action game.
Yep.
You're like running around and jumping on stuff and shooting things.
Yeah.
When
are you getting your VR headset?
I don't know. I still don't know if it's worth it.
We can play.
I've been having doubts.
Well, I'd explore new games, maybe.
Okay.
There's.
Well, maybe. We'll see.
Maybe. Okay. Damn. All right. Joe's mom. He totally wants.
She's not gonna
Quest 3S for.
She's not
Christmas.
Gonna. Do not do that. Anyway, let's go into the episode.
Okay, yeah, let's do that.
Let's stop coercing me into buying technology and go into the episode.
Okay, fine.
We'll start with a voice actor. The voice actress for Kana Oe is Ai Kayano. Have I done this one already? I haven't, right?
Nope. Mm-mm.
Nope, I have not. She is the voice of Ryoko Sakaki in Food Wars. I've never seen Food Wars, but like the number of episodes was enormous, which makes me think that this
maybe
is a character
people
know. Maybe
she's the blonde chick. It's like pervy.
The number of people I know who like don't really watch anime, but have watched Food Wars as like their only anime is very high.
That's interesting.
She's got
my
red
sister
hair.
Likes it, but oh, okay. Yeah, I've watched like the first episode.
This character. No idea who it is.
It was too much for me.
She's in like the splash art, like the cover art, but like way, way to the left.
Okay.
So I don't think she's important, but she shows up a lot.
Rival-ish character, maybe.
Yeah. She's not the blonde one that I do. Okay. I have seen before. Yeah. She's also... What?
Sorry, it's just so strange that that's like the one anime they've watched.
I don't know.
Why?
People like food.
It's
people
giving
like cooking.
Them such a distinct image that anime is like perverted too.
Well, you know.
Like, are they just going to assume they're all like that? I mean,
not entirely,
some of them really are.
Not entirely inaccurate. I cannot get into Food Wars because I am not interested. I do not love food and I do not like go crazy for food. Yeah. So like when you just have a montage of somebody making anime food, I'm like, that's not, first off, A, not real food. Second off, B, I don't care. It's like the worst show for me. Also the framing, okay, I'm not just gonna complain about Food Wars.
No.
also the voice actress for Alice in Sword Art Online, who is the blonde one who's like,
okay.
I don't remember. No,
the main chick?
She's not.
Oh,
she's like, no. A knight or something, the picture.
Oh,
I saw.
Okay.
Alice Zuberg. Golden armor, something. I don't know. It's probably from a later season or something. I don't recognize her, but you know, whatever.
Uh-huh.
Also, Miken Tsumiki in Danganronpa. If you ever played that, another series of visual novels.
I bought it. I just haven't played it yet.
You need to play it. She's in Danganronpa 2. Mm. She's the nurse, I think. Okay. Also plays the character in Nori and Guilty Crown, which is the main girl. Have you seen Guilty Crown? This show is ridiculous.
I feel like I've seen the cover art. It's a mech show, right?
No.
No?
No. Oh. It's like a fantasy combat show. He's like pulling guns out of people's chests or whatever, like weird magic tools.
Never mind. I have no idea.
And she's like an idol and she sings like little songs. It's like the most ridiculous, like kind of stupid story. I remember thinking it was really dumb when I watched it, but it was also like, I don't know, 10 years ago or something. Mm. And lastly, she's the voice of Darkness from Konosuba, who is the blonde that is like,
I don't know,
masochistic, I guess, and gets like
either.
Gets wrecked. Yeah. Yep.
What about Anna from The Promised Neverland?
Oh, I totally forgot. I skipped the ranch. Also, Anna from Promised Neverland. That's the
one
orange
hair chick.
Like the main one.
Okay. Wait, no. The little girl? The blonde little girl? Is that her name? Oh, I don't know.
Anna. This article is about
the girl with the two guys.
What the hell
is this? Is she like one of the mothers of the place they live in or something?
Never mind. This is a 9-year-old.
Okay.
Wait, really?
I haven't watched that in a while, but I heard this.
I like searched Anna Promise Neverland and I just got a picture of the orange. Okay, yeah, she's got blonde hair. She's 9.
Is she the
I
one
thought I knew
who
this character was. I don't know. I barely remember Promise Neverland.
Yeah,
totally
me neither. I was just like, this is a bummer.
She's got
show.
A scarf. I like the first season where it's like, can we do a breakout? That's good. And then the seasons keep going and I heard season 2 is bad and I I'm really not interested in seeing what happens after you come out of that place, like where the season 1 ends. So
well, I could see it being like I'm imagining all this stuff and then it doesn't live up to the expectation. Like
it just seems like it's going to be a bummer. Why bother?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's creepy.
Not everything needs a sequel. Anyway, so yeah, Anna, the blonde 9-year-old from Promise Neverland.
Okay. Nice. All right.
Well, and then also Kana, another supporting character. She does like a bunch of supporting characters. This is like always the thing. Like there was so many shows that she was in, but it's always just like, who's this? And then I look and I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, sure. I've seen them before.
I feel like it might be better to be a supporting character because then like, because if you're a main character, you know, like, they're not going to keep hiring you as a main character and everything because it's going to be like, oh, well, it's always this person voice acting all the animes. And then it's like disruptive to the viewing because then you just think of the other characters they've been. But like a secondary character, that's like a solid, consistent workspace to you can rely on.
Yeah,
I feel like. Anyways.
Anyway, Chihaya Furu Verse 9 is called
But I Cannot Hide. It's a little easier to comprehend, I guess, the concept at least. I don't know
this
if that
one?
Relates to this
the
episode.
The one where they go to camp?
They do hide.
I don't really care. Okay, but it's like literally they hide. All right.
Yeah.
We open on the crew officially handing in their paperwork to become a club. Their teacher, who's the same as the tennis coach and the one that got angry at Chihaya earlier, agrees to be their advisor on the condition that somebody other than Chihaya is club president. Chihaya is bummed that she can't be club president. Everybody elects Taichi to be president as Chihaya declares herself captain.
Well, that's much better.
Everybody thinks Tsutomu specifically thinks that it's a good idea that she isn't club president. Like everybody is just like, no, it's probably the right call.
Yeah.
Their club budget's like $30. They try to work out how the practices should go. Everybody calls each other by their derogatory names except for Taichi. The vibes are bad. Chihaya bursts in and says that she's gonna play against the newbies. Taichi's like, they're not gonna learn anything if you just play against like our best player over and over and over again. But Chihaya insists and says that she's captain, so she should outrank to Taichi.
President definitely outranks captain, I think.
Captain isn't real. You can't have a captain and a president. What are we doing? They start practice. Chihaya is playing as Kana and Nishida is against Tsutomu. They start. Chihaya starts crushing Kana and everybody disapproves. Kana says that this isn't going to work, but Chihaya explains that she learned from Arata, and if he hadn't destroyed her, then she wouldn't have been motivated to learn to love Karada. She says she's not going to go easy on anyone because they need to be good enough to participate in a tournament this summer. After practice, Nishida explains that the tournament Chihaya wants to participate in is called
Omi Jingu, named after the shrine where it's held. It's in July, and it's for the best high school players in the nation. They also have to pass a regionals to qualify, so they need to do that first. Tsutomu and Kana are like, well, we just started playing, and Shihaya's like, it's okay, because she'll play against all of them every day.
That doesn't sound fun.
This sounds miserable. Constantly.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it sounds bad. On the train ride home, Taichi tells Chihaya that she should just let him and Nishida worry about the newbies, and she could just focus on her own play. Chihaya reminds him of the team match back from elementary school, and he relents. We cut to a montage of Taichi and Nishida teaching Kana and Tsutomu a bunch of tips. Tsutomu comes up with a bunch of strategies about card placement. They start practicing, and Kana is able to take a card against Taichi. Then their, like, advisor teacher suddenly bursts in and tells them that it's late and they all need to go home because the school's closed. They walk home complaining that they only have time to play, like, two games before the school closes, because I guess there's not that much time between, like, classes ending and, like, the buildings closing down. Chihaya mentions a camp that she once went to that was, like, pretty helpful because you could just play all day. The other members all think that this is a great idea, and they decide to stage a camp over the upcoming three-day weekend. They're going to have it at Taichi's huge-ass house.
Fancy town.
Chihaya goes to Taichi's house early. She tries to go into his room, but he stops her because a girl shouldn't just rush into a guy's room like that. We get a scene where she's like, that's weird. The rest of the crew shows up, and they're all surprised that Taichi is rich.
Okay, Nishida makes a comment that's like, this is the first time I've thought we live in a class society or something.
Yeah, dude, Nishida's really so funny.
Oh, my God.
So good. Chihaya shows everybody's Taichi's hall of medals and awards for things like violin, horseback riding, and skiing. Taichi is not happy about this. Chihaya tells Kana that she doesn't like his mom because she gets mad when he doesn't win, and she calls her Miss Pressure or something.
That's right.
Because they're pressure cooking that kid. They start practice. Chihaya announces that their goal is to play 15 total games over 2 days. Everybody is overwhelmed, but they all go for it. We get a montage of them practicing. They only finish 5 games before Taichi tells Chihaya that they have to call it. Kana and Tsutomu are totally spent. Chihaya is like, but you'll play more than that in a tournament, so we gotta keep going. But Taichi tells her that they're gonna have to take a break, or like they're gonna break themselves.
Yeah, that is it's so annoying. Like, pretty so frustrating. Being, I mean, like, no one's calling her out on like explicitly how like absurd and unrealistic she's being.
So. The way this episode's end is fascinating, so I feel like we should just get to the end
before talking about it. Yeah, it makes me mad. Okay, continue.
Let's see. They eat dinner, and Nishida's having a grand old time. Everybody else is suffering, though. Like, everyone's having a bad time. Kana tries to eat, and Susomu passes out. Suddenly, Chihaya hears something and tells Kana that they have to hide. The front door unlocks because Taichi's mom and sister are suddenly home. They were supposed to be gone for the night, but came home early. Chihaya carries a now passed out Kana home to her place to stay the night. Chihaya can't sleep thinking about how she might have pushed Kana and Susomu too hard. She thinks about how people have told her that she only thinks about Karuta and like doesn't think about other stuff, and she feels bad. Suddenly, Kana's alarm goes off. She gets up and drags Chihaya off into the night. She drags her to a park where Nishida, Taichi, and Tsutomu are waiting for her. Nishida tells her that they have something to tell her, but before he can say it, Chihaya apologizes for pushing everyone too hard and not paying attention to their fatigue. The guys don't think that's a problem, though. Nobody cares. Neither does Kana. She's also just like, whatever, man. Like, we know what we signed up for. Both Kana and Tsutomu tell Chihaya that they're gonna grow to love Karuta. They're actually here because it's Chihaya's 16th birthday, and Taichi has like a pastry cake looking thing.
Looks like a fruit tart or something.
Yes, but it's like huge.
Yeah.
They start to eat it, and Taichi shoves the chocolate face, like, name plate in her mouth. Chihaya is stunned. Taichi tells her that as long as she smiles, Karuta will be fun. She cries. They eat cake together while complaining about Taichi's mom. Taichi suddenly gets an email from an unknown number. He opens it and is shaken by its contents. Chihaya comes over to taunt him with some cake. She's doing like, oh, Taichi, I brought you some cake. Ha ha. This is for me. And she goes to eat it. But then he walks over and eats it off of her spoon in a moment that might have only been romantic for him.
Yeah, 100%.
Chihaya again is stunned. He tells her that he got an email and shoves the phone into her face. It's a message from Arata that says, "Taichi, sorry about before. Tell Chihaya happy birthday from me." Chihaya is touched by his message and thinks that this is the best birthday ever. We pan up to a forlorn Taichi while the rest of the crew looks at shooting stars. End of episode.
Okay. First off, okay, I don't know where to start. There's like the Taichi thing, and then there's the Chihaya's like being out of touch with humanity.
Yeah. Do we want to start with Chihaya?
Yeah.
Okay. On one hand, I do like the idea that the Karuta Club is a place where she can be herself, right? Because she's like, oh, I'm like messing it up. I'm like messing up all my human interactions again by being way too into Karuta, and everyone's gonna like push me away like they always do. And the fact that it ends with everyone being like, no, you can like everybody's fine with it. It's cool. We're all here for you. You know, this is like a place where you fit in. As you've lived your life in a place where you haven't fit in, here's a big cake for your birthday. I think that's like, that's very sweet and very good.
Yes.
I don't really understand how that happened.
Well, like, you can't just let her get away with this. Like, she was finally feeling a little regretful about it, and then you just totally blow that out of the water, and now she's not going to worry about it at all. And I'm like, I feel like she should be a little considerate towards others, you know? But they basically just gave her the green flag to keep on being too much.
Yeah, I mean, she's not being, like, rude about it. It's just, like, you're slotting too much stuff up, right? And I feel like this is what is, like, the role that Chihaya and Taichi are playing in the club is interesting, because he is basically having to, like, rein her in, right?
Yes.
In a way that it's, like, it's not bad that she's kind of going too hard. Like, everyone's like, oh, that, like, gives us motivation to do it, which I think is probably true. But, like, there is an awareness. It is shocking to me how, like, Tsutomu and Kana are like, oh no, this is great. I love being pushed to the brink of exhaustion over this game I just heard about. Like, I don't understand what these people like about Karuta.
I feel like I feel like they're just gonna get so down on losing that they're not gonna, like, you need the little wins to, like, build your confidence doing this thing rather than just getting demolished every time. I feel like Chihaya, like, has this idea of how she wants the club to go and all this, but none of the things she's doing are contributing to that vision. Taichi then has to go and be the one to do these things to make her stuff happen for her, which is kind of frustrating.
Yeah, well, the other thing I think is interesting is that, like, the framing, like, Chihaya's motivation for getting better at Karuta was basically frustration at losing, right? Like, that's, I mean, because she's just like, oh, I played against Arata, who was, like, amazing, and that, like, made me frustrated enough to get really good at this game and, like, figure out what I like about it, right? Which is, like, a real motivation for doing things, like, wanting to get better because you don't like losing. But that's also kind of presented as the only motivation somebody can have, right? Because, again, with last episodes where we recruited Tsutomu and Nishida, they hate losing. Taichi hates losing. Everybody hates losing. And that seems to be, like, the only motivation that is presented for playing this game, which I think is interesting, especially because, like, Kana is interested in that. And I don't think I get no competitive feeling from her particularly.
Yeah, I think, like, well, Chihaya is only like this, like, where Karuta is everything, because that's just her default way to be, because that's how she was before she even met Karuta. And so, like, she doesn't have, I feel like she can only have, she's like a one trick pony. And, like, with that, all of her, like, unlimited energy goes into it, which is just the others can't replicate that because, one, they don't have that same energy, but also they, like, value having other things in their lives probably. And so it's impossible to expect them to be on that same level. I don't know. Yeah. I'm just like, this is too much, Chihaya. I understand we're simplifying things for the sake of camaraderie and teamwork and blah, 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 but I'd be annoyed.
Yeah, it is a lot. But again, like, you know, I feel like the other, well, this is the thing that's interesting. This is the thing that stuck out to me the most in these episodes, which is, like, she's really into it. It seems like Kana and Satomu are also into it. Nishida's into it. And Taichi is like the most phoning it in these episodes. Like, he is not. Everybody else is excited, but him, who's just kind of going along with it. He's just like, yeah, I'll be captain, or like, I'll be like the club president. That's fine. Like, everybody nominates him. He's like, yeah, OK. And then he's like, oh, yeah, we can have a camp. Oh, yeah, we can have it at my house. Like, he is not excited about Karuna at all, it feels like.
Well, he's almost the opposite of Chihaya, because like, she has the one thing, and then he's had to do so many things that maybe he has a hard time getting invested in anything. And yeah, obviously his intentions with competing are different, or they're not based off the game itself, just for the sake of staying close to Chihaya. Still no mention of his goddamn girlfriend. Poor girl's never seen him since.
I'm just assuming she's gone. But yeah, it's like, it's fascinating because like, yeah, I don't know what Karuna means to him. Cause like he obviously does all of these things. Right. And it's just like, okay, do any of these things mean anything to him? Like, obviously he likes this one because this is what his friends are doing. But like, does he like the game all that much? Is he like excited to go to tournaments? He's just kind of like, yeah, it's fine. Like, we need to stop because these guys are like burnt out. You know what I mean? Like, he is the most chill about everything.
Yeah.
And also like, not, I don't know. He has the least passion out of any of them.
Yeah.
It feels
should we talk
like.
About him in this episode?
Yeah. Should we talk about the rest of Taichi?
Yeah. I think basically it's so clear that Chihaya doesn't see him that way, and she only thinks about Arata, that he's trying to use these like guerrilla tactics to try and like shock her into acknowledging him as a dude. By like clearly pointing it out in the instance of her trying to go into his room, and then like it's not, it's like very intentional that he's doing these things, and it's not like an organic thing happening. He's just trying to force her to look at him as a guy.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like, I mean, it's all reactionary, right?
Mm.
It's all like, I mean, he's frustrated. Like, I can tell his frustration, right? Where it's like,
yes.
Oh, Chihaya finally came to my house and it's for this stupid camp that we're doing. And she wants to go into my room. Like, no, you're not going into my room. You know what I mean? It's like standoffish, yeah. A little bit. Like, he only like bites off of her like spoon or whatever when Arata emails him and he's like, mm. Oh, great. I like forgot about that. Like, he can be normal in normal situations. It's only when something comes up that like, should be a romantic moment that's not going to be, because he knows that she's not into him. Like, this is the thing.
Yeah.
Like, I feel pretty, I kind of feel for Taichi in this episode, in terms of like, he's been forced to do all this stuff. Like, his mom forces him to do all these extracurricular activities that he does not care about particularly. He's in this karate club that, I mean, he likes, but like, does he really care about it? I don't know. There's like, the girl he has a big crush on, and she, like, on paper, they do stuff that seems like she would be into him, but she's not. And so this is just his life. Like, of course, like, he's just being ground dust every day of his life. Of course, he's going to be checked out of everything. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would also be like checked out of my life if this was like
a
this.
Little kid. Well, like, at this point, just let go, dude. Like, you'll be happier if you just, I don't know, if he just thinks that if he keeps being around that she'll by default end up with him. But like, I don't know, because he's so chill about everything that he doesn't seem like one to be so stubborn, but he is on this.
Well, I think it's like he's hanging on to something for himself, right? Because it seems like, yeah, he pretty much doesn't live his life for himself at all. He always is having to live under the expectations of everybody else. And this is something he can at least do that is like for him, right? It,
yeah,
is so clearly doomed. And I think he knows that it's clearly doomed. But it's like, you just got to get something to get through the day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I get it. But also, bro, you need to just like.
Well, when he was talking about the whole like being in love is like being uneasy,
miserable
always or whatever. Yeah, I'm like,
yeah,
it's
like your life
certainly
sucks
that way for you, dude. Like, I just feel the like lack of energy from him, or the resignation from him. And I'd like to see him more happy in general.
Yeah.
But hopefully we will get to see that.
Yeah, but I do feel like the explaining his home life has like contributed to my understanding of that in like a way that I am like, I'm interested in Tai Chi again after this.
He's my favorite.
After being like, damn, your life just kind of sucks, man. Like, I understand that you're good at everything, and like Tsutomu is clearly like jealous of you. But also, your life sucks still.
So let's move on.
All right. Verse 10 is called Exchange Hellos and Goodbyes.
Makes no sense.
We open on Chihaya earning a... What? Oh, wearing, sorry. We open on Chihaya wearing a hakama, stretching while a bunch of other students look on. We learn that it's the Tokyo Regionals for high schoolers. It's happening now. We're doing the regional tournament to qualify for that other one. We cut to Kana fitting everybody in their hakamas. While they all complain because it's like, oh, these are uncomfortable, but she's like, this is the deal.
Everyone else is like looking at them, and I could see that being very embarrassing, being like that.
Oh, yeah.
The weirdos wearing the hakama.
Yeah, everybody else is just a high schooler.
Well, because it's definitely not something they wear every day, so that's another thing. It's like, doesn't feel normal at all.
Yeah. Kana also has like brought brochures for her family's shop because she's a genius. I love Kana. This is a marketing opportunity. Chihaya is overwhelmed to be surrounded by so many Karuta players. She tells Tai Chi that she needs to text Arata about it, and Tai Chi's like, huh, you sure do text Arata a lot now since your birthday. Like, what's he got to say? And she's like, oh yeah, he ignores all of my text messages. He's never responded to me.
So embarrassing.
Which is
so
insane.
Cringe.
It's cringe. Can you, I just like, now I am like so engulfed in like anytime Tai Chi hears about something, he's just like letting out like the biggest cigarette drag of all time. In terms of like, oh, the girl I have a crush on is like way too into this guy who does not care. Cool.
Yeah. Oh man. That's gonna be so annoying. Like, she's putting so much energy into it's kind of like they're both putting energy into something that's not being reciprocated, and so it's probably frustrating for him to see like, oh, she could be putting that energy into me, but she's wasting it on someone who doesn't appreciate it,
or like pretty much anybody else. It's gotta be fucking Arata. Tai Chi says he understands because both him and Arata feel like Chihaya belongs to them, which is when he lost a bunch of points for me by saying that.
Yeah, don't love that.
Tai Chi, my man. you cannot be claiming like holds on other people. Then he stops some people from taking pictures of them and walks off. Well, Chihaya thinks he's been acting differently lately because, wow. gotta pass the perception check sometime. suddenly some guy starts taunting her. What?
All the girls are swooning.
They think he's hot. Suddenly, some guy starts taunting her. She turns to see it's Retro from the Karuta Society from back in the flashback. He is that one guy they played that one time. His school is good, and two of their members are Class A. Chihaya tells him that they're gonna beat them and rushes off, thinking about how only one team can win the tournament, so, like, it needs to be them. But that means they're going to have to beat Retro's team. Chihaya goes to get comfort from Kana, who scolds her for not wearing her hakama elegantly. She calms down. The tournament starts. Each team needs to win 3 of 5 matches. So again, it's the you play like everybody plays one-on-one.
Individually. Yeah.
And you just have to win them. They start game one. Chihaya flings a card and then trips on the hem of her hakama, retrieving it. Which is very funny.
Oh my God. So embarrassing. That's like, gotta hurt the texture of the tatami mat, like, and put all your weight going onto that.
Yeah, she like hit her forehead. She is like done.
Mm-hmm.
Tsutomu is struggling in his first game. It ends, and Nishida, Chihaya, and Tai Chi won their matches, while Kana and Tsutomu lost theirs. Tai Chi tells Tsutomu that he probably faced their like opponent's best player since the matchups are like more or less random at the beginning because nobody can like scout out the first game because like you can kind of tell who's good and who's not based on like the scoring lines, but in the first game you have no idea because it's the first game. Nishida and Tai Chi strategize their player order. Kana asks where Chihaya is, and Nishida tells her that she's texting Arata while eating different food items each scene because the fat kid likes to eat, ha ha ha. He speculates that she started this club so that she can see him at nationals, while Kana is like inspired by the love story. But Nishida's like, she probably just wants to play against him. I don't think she's capable of that.
Don't read into it.
Nishida is incredibly perceptive.
Yeah,
real
Nishida
good
rules.
Yeah, I mean, he's a jerk, but at least he's right about things.
Yeah.
They leave for their next match while Tsutomu hangs behind, frustrated with his performance. The next match happens, and Tsutomu is still having a rough go of it. Kana unexpectedly wins her matches while Tsutomu is still happening. What?
Sorry, I had a little internet lag. I was like, oh, Joe's not talking. Let me fill the air.
Oh, sorry.
Nope.
Okay. Kana unexpectedly wins while Satomu's match is still happening, and he eventually loses. Their team wins 4-1. I guess I should explain this. So you can, everybody plays the same match basically, but like, you know, you can organize your cards however you want. But that means that some people's matches will end early because if you clear your whole side, then the game ends. So like one person can win and then there's like, you know, 5 or 10 more rounds just based off of how much they won by. So closer games last longer. I'm just saying this because throughout this tournament, people are going to finish earlier and there's going to be down to like one person.
Yeah.
See, they eat lunch and the team is in high spirits, except for Tsutomu, who's not. Nishida notes that their next opponent has one really strong player, so they should match him up against Tsutomu so the rest can stand a chance.
Fucked. That's fucked.
I mean, right in front of right him.
Yeah, I know.
He is, again, Nishida is a jerk, but he is right.
Oh, so discouraging. Disheartening.
Tsutomu has been silent this whole time. He asks if he can go home since they don't really need him. They're like, you can't leave. And he snaps at them saying that they can just replace him and Kana with whoever. Like, obviously, it doesn't matter. You got like the three of you will just win everything. He's just like a fifth person here. Chihaya says that's not true, but Tsutomu accuses her of just wanting to get to nationals to meet somebody anyway, because that's all she cared about. He starts to walk off and Taichi tells him that he'll let him skip the next match, but he needs to be there for the finals. Chihaya's like, why are you letting him go? But Taichi's like, okay, but like he can't play if he's angry in that state anyway, so like just let him cool off. Nishida's like, fine, whatever. But Taichi says it's not Satomu's fault. They actually aren't really a team. They basically are just five people who are playing next to each other, which is the most true thing anyone has ever said.
I love it when spitting facts.
Yeah. Or Taichi, that's Taichi who says this.
Oh, oops.
Taichi is like, remember an episode, like, whatever, like, 3, where I'm just like, this doesn't really seem like a team game. It seems like they're just 3 random people playing, and they just happen to be on a team. It turns out, yes, because they're doing it wrong.
Yes.
Taichi tells him they need to win this round so they can play with Tsutomu again. Chihaya is a bit rattled by what Tsutomu said. Their opponents next game are an actual team, though, and they do things like encourage each other. You know, the things you would do if you were actually on a team, and they, like, high-five and stuff. Chihaya's game is so bad she misses the Chihaya Furu card. That's how bad it's going for her. The rest of the team is shocked. Watching on are the students from Hasio High.
I think it's Hoshu.
Hoshu? Okay.
I feel like Honshu, something like that.
Whatever. This is the team that Retro's on. Their captain, Sudo, explains that the other team isn't very good that they're playing against, but they yell a lot, which rattles their opponents because, you know, they're using the power of teamwork. He comments that there's basically no advantage to keeping silent, so like Chihaya's team should also be yelling because they're just sitting there silently.
He
leans over to see Retro doing some divination to determine the player order for their next game. Apparently he is very good at this somehow.
Well, those are custom ass cards.
Yeah, he's very goofy.
Based off himself.
Sudo comments that if Chihaya's team is going to win, he'll have to play against her. Retro tells him not to be worried, and Sudo says he likes to toy with pretty girls, and Retro calls him a sadist. Ew.
Yeah.
Elsewhere.
Also, I was going to say, we didn't mention it, but in the last match, Kana did win her first match, so that's exciting.
Oh, I mentioned it.
Oh, you did? Okay, I wasn't listening. My bad.
Oh, cool.
Yay, Kana. Delayed. Uh-huh. Congrats. Okay. Continue. Yeah, she did it.
Elsewhere, Tsutomu listens to some other students gossip about Chihaya's game and how she's playing very poorly. He yells at them and runs off. Back in the game, Chihaya is like, well, like failing. She's not doing any better.
Miserably.
Yeah. Taichi tries to get her together, but she's totally lost her ability to hear because this is Chihaya's thing. She has superhuman hearing, but not right now because if she feels bad, it's like all silent. She's unsure what to do when suddenly Taichi smacks the hell out of a bunch of cards, snapping her out of it. Like he plays the way that Chihaya does by like flinging shit. Everyone turns to look as he retrieves the cards. On his way back, he pats them on the head. and tells Nishida to win his game first. Then he encourages the rest of them and Chihaya and tells Chihaya to take a breath because he is the team president. He's the club president. He's doing it. He's using teamwork. Taichi has arrived. She breathes and is able to calm down. She looks at her opponent for the first time, who's looking pretty worn out. And she's like, oh, that's right. This is who I'm playing against. This is the field. She sees Susumu watching from the corner and is aspired to win now that the whole team is here. She's down by 6 cards, but has regained her superhuman hearing, so she starts to go on a tear. Nishida and Taichi win their game, and Kana loses hers, so it's down to Chihaya. She wins 7 cards in a row, and it comes down to the final card. Susumu yells out to Chihaya to win, and she does. The game ends, and Chihaya immediately passes out. Kana runs out to chase out Susumu and scolds him for not wearing his hakama properly. She tells him that everyone here has been playing for a while, so it's not their fault if they can't win, because they're new players. Susumu finally congratulates her on her first win, as the rest of the team comes out carrying a passed out Chihaya. Susumu apologizes, and they all make up, and they get pumped for the next match as we cut to credits.
Finally, thinking like a team.
Yeah. Boy, it sure would suck if you, like, learned a game and like played a bunch of hours of it where you just got destroyed for several hours and then you went to a tournament and then you lost every game. Mm-hmm. That would suck.
That would big time. Ugh,
and yeah, all your team is just so like, we should just let you lose. Actually, we should so strategically fuck. Let you lose.
No, it's so awful. Well, because they don't necessarily know what the player lineup is going to be from the other team. Because it doesn't have to be the same every round. So like, that's why Retro is trying to divinate or predict what their team. Well, because he thinks the other team is going to win and that Chihaya's team is going to lose. So he's like trying to guess who they'll place where so that they can then place strategically. So, but like, yeah. It seems like such a gamble to try and guess where their best player is going to be.
Yeah. I mean, and also it seems like Retro's team is big enough that not everybody plays every time. So like people can take breaks. Yeah. Like the team captain isn't playing, even though their team is playing this round.
Mm-hmm.
But Chihaya's team is only 5 people, so they all have to play every time.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. Have
that stamina. Yeah.
Yeah. So Satomu's going through it. That kind of makes sense. This would suck. I feel like this would be a bad time.
For sure. So now, well, I feel like, right, the top team goes to nationals or regionals or whatever it is from the Tokyo division. But surely the second place team comes in as an alternate in case there's a scandal and it turns out that the winning team was on like steroids or something.
I guess. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, man. But one team making it seems tough, especially because like Tokyo is a huge district, so they probably have so many more competitors than like a smaller one.
Yeah,
where the competition pool is small.
Quite true.
But yeah, and then I, because this is like team matches, but at one point, I don't know for this one or at some point there'll be like tournaments where there's team and individual tournaments. I don't remember if they do both or if they alternate.
Yeah. But well, I mean, we saw them play like in the flashback, like where all of them are playing in the same game as opposed to like each playing an individual game. Yes. So I don't know if there's like different versions. Yeah.
Well, I'm guessing the one where you all play off the same field is not one that's used in like official matches. Just more like for fun. Right.
But is that like doubles? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like something like that.
I was at last night at my sister had a Christmas party and one of the girls there was from Japan and she's only been living in the US for a little bit, but I asked her if she played Karta and she's like, yeah, it's more like a thing my family did as a tradition on New Year's, but not like a regular thing we ever did. So more of just like a novelty than
like playing Monopoly.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. So the tournament. Yep. They do the tournament. It goes bad. Satomu has a bad time. He gets over it. You know, I feel like this is pretty good. Like, this is pretty good standard, like, new player stuff.
Mm.
I would also get frustrated, yeah. But he needs a better outlet for getting frustrated than just by yelling at everybody. But then again, they are not a team. Taichi, again, correctly diagnoses their problem, which is they really are just five people playing this game. They are not acting like a team. They don't do anything like a team.
Mm-hmm.
Taichi pulling his weight, especially yes, for like, always. Again, not seeming that interested in like, yeah. any, he's not I seeming mean, like motivated. And I mean, he's not unmotivated, but he's not excited about any of this stuff.
But at least like for someone who's not as interested and also didn't want to be coordinating all this, he's like stepping up because it's like what's best for everyone, which is nice. Like he has compassion for others, which is refreshing in comparison to Chihaya.
Yeah, it turns out Taichi is the most reliable out of all of them.
Yes. Yeah. So who's your favorite character now?
I mean, I guess it's Taichi at this point.
Yeah, I guess
Taichi, Nishida, and then Chihaya.
Kana. Nah, Kana rules.
I like
that
Kana.
Taichi acknowledged her business sense. He's like, she's on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember disliking Chihaya, but I guess now that we're in a place where we're analyzing it, I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, not well, there just hasn't currently. Been like a payoff to any of her stuff.
Yeah, yet. No.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
there
boy,
also hasn't been a payoff to like why people like Karuta. I'm still like on that, where it's just like, why does Satomu like Karuta?
Well,
I mean, he clearly doesn't
okay.
like this tournament, which I get, because it's like, imagine you play this complicated game against a bunch of people that are good and you just did bad over and over and over again, but you kept winning, so you kept having to play.
Yeah.
Like, you not don't even have the dignity of going home.
Yeah.
You have to keep doing bad.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Yeah. I'm excited because moving forward, we'll be covering three episodes at a time, which means I'll get... Because, like, two episodes doesn't feel like enough to watch. Like, I need more Chihaya Furu. It's so good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Yes. So now we're... Yeah.
So we'll be doing groups of three. I don't find these that hard to summarize. We'll probably like go through them a little bit faster, especially because like we're in tournament mode, which I feel like there's a lot less character stuff to talk through.
Talky. Yeah.
So next time we're going to watch 11
really
through 13.
How hard this is going to be for you to recap, but you're doing a good job.
Yeah, but like this last episode was pretty short. I mean, like the word count on this is not enormous.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to try three. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
We'd have to do at least one of those because of how there's an odd number of episodes. So if it goes good, we'll just keep doing three. If it goes bad, we'll switch back to two.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That's Chihaya Furu this week. Let's, I guess, continue our recommendation.
Yeah. Talk to me about G-Witch.
What do we call this? Yeah. I only got a chance to watch like two more episodes, I think, but.
Okay.
Okay, I need to know, is this going to be like it's like Yuri coded, but the show's just pretending they're friends and nothing actually happens? Is that what the case is? Okay, because like there's like Howl looking guy who like I get the vibe like, oh, he's going to be interested in Suleta and this and that. And I wasn't sure if it was going to be like setting up these male characters as a fallback for the end of the show for them to pair off with.
No, it's not gonna do that.
Okay. Her mom's haircut, heinous. A crime. Keep the helmet on. Oh my god.
Yeah. Her mom's weird, dude.
Yes. Yeah. Well, okay, because up to this point it's just like school really and like duels against the same guy, so I'm like hoping we get more like either learning to do new cool things or like wider scale stuff rather than one-on-one, or what the curriculum looks like at this school. But we'll see. Probably not going
the
that
characters
in depth. I like Suleta. I do like, she's very quirky, and I'm watching in dub, but the dub voice actress is doing a very good job of like voicing that, like the good transitions from like talking normally to like being hiding behind a corner or stuff like that is good.
Did you watch through episode four?
Yeah, I think I'm on episode 5.
Maybe? Did you see the part where Choo Choo punches that chick?
No.
Oh.
I don't think so.
You're not on episode 4. Okay.
Never mind. We have a guy propose to her after getting beat down a second time.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I didn't mean it.
That guy's such a moron. I love him. He's so stupid.
His hair is insane.
He looks terrible. It's so funny.
So his brother looks normal.
He's such a little freak.
Yes. Okay. Well, it's interesting because, like, those two are the only mobile suits I've really seen so far, and hers is very classic looking and his is very flashy, with like a freaking feather cap and shit. So interested to see what the other designs look like.
Yeah.
And her mom is just lying straight to her face, so that's why.
Dude, her mom is so crazy. She's so unfucking all the time. Every time she says something, I'm just like, what the fuck are you saying? what is happening here?
Yeah, I know. I half expected her mom to be like dead or something, but no, she's in it. But like, it feels like she's like, what is the intention with sending her here? Is she just using her kid as bait to get this big company to like buy into something and then turn her back on them? Cause she's like trying to get into their good graces currently. So it'll be interesting to see how that part of it plays out. I like the girl with the black and blue hair.
The
girl with the pink pigtails, her hair is insane.
Yeah. She's great. She's so angry.
But yeah, we'll see. So yeah, still good so far. I just haven't had as much downtime this week because I've been playing so much Baldur's Gate.
Yeah, but you're gonna stick with it.
Yeah, how about you? How's Forgotten Anne going?
I play more Forgotten Anne. This is the most clearly. Okay, so the guy's name Bonku. It's Bonku who's the guy who runs everything. You're the enforcer there. Learn some interesting things in the lore. Should I spoil this for you if you haven't played this? Should I not spoil it for you? I guess I won't spoil it for you.
Yeah, go ahead. No, you can, or the gist of it.
It's very clearly that this Bonku guy showed up instead of like established himself as like a pseudo dictator and like basically you were like installing the surveillance state. It is the most you are clearly the bad guys. He calls all the like animate objects things at a point. And it's like, I see.
I don't remember. Is he human too?
Yes, he is human. That's why he like, you know, because they're animated objects, right?
Yeah.
So and so, like, they are literally things, but, like, they also talk, which means he's referring to them as things, even though they clearly are just people.
Yeah.
So.
So is Anne, like, having some kind of moral conflict with, like, the way he's treated? Because I don't remember. Is it, like, she grew up there or she just doesn't remember her life before?
So, she
like,
doesn't remember.
This is what she's known as people her whole life, and he's treating them like that. So how does she feel about it? Or she's just like, whatever. Or that's up to you to decide.
Her memory seems to be bad. Like, she seems to have memories before he was in charge of everything, because he's like, I kind of remember that, but not very well. Like, people have to remind her of stuff that happened in the past. Like, you meet, like, a character that's, like, basically like a grandma that, like, you used to hang out with. She's like, I remember when you guys first got here. And she's like, I only, like, vaguely remember that. So it's, like, in there, but not really. That being said,
that makes me think it's like planted memories or like suggested memories and not her actual or something. Anyways, continue.
So like, it's a lot of that. I mean, again, you can make every decision is like, do you want to be a cop or do you want to be like a
liberator?
Yeah. And so it's a lot of just that
going down.
Well, obviously I'm being a person. Because I don't know about this guy. I don't know this Bonku guy. Who the hell is he? I just started this game 3 hours ago. I have no loyalty to him. That is where I'm at. And you know, I've defied him a couple times. Hasn't resulted in anything bad for me yet.
Yeah.
And also, I have the little gauntlet where I can steal people's life juice. So like, what's he gonna do? Send people after me? I'll just steal their life juice. Who's in charge here? It's me, it turns out. Oh.
Yes. Don't she have like wings or something?
Yeah, you do get it. You get like some
so
wings.
Cool.
Yeah. I will say the puzzle's getting a little bit more nebulous. Like I've had to look up some of them because it's just like it's not clear to me what you're supposed to do.
Okay.
But
you know, I can look them up. It's fine.
So, okay, you recommended me a show and I recommended you a game. Do we, like, once we kind of like finish these recommendations, do we switch or can I recommend another game?
I mean, it's up to you.
Do we request what kind of media we want to be recommended for?
Oh, we can also do that. Like, I, you know, if I like don't want to play another game, I'll just be like, hey, recommend me something that isn't a game.
Okay. Yeah, let's do that.
That seems to be the best way to do it.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, cool. So we're both making a little bit of progress.
Haven't given up yet.
Let's see. As the year comes to an end, if you guys want to give us a holiday gift, you should totally, for realsies, cue Joe.
Oh, you're not going to say it? I thought you were doing it. Yeah, rate us 5 stars on your platform, your podcast platform of choice, whatever you're listening to on right now. You can rate it 5 stars. You can just go into the little thing. Please do that. It's easy to not do that. It does help us out quite a bit. We are a new show. We're trying to gain some notoriety. And an easy way to do that is to let people know that you think it's good. You can also do that by leaving a comment. So if you're an Apple Podcast, you can leave a comment there. That helps with whatever algorithm ranking thing they've got going on, I think. If you're in some other platform, you can leave comments on like episodes maybe, and that maybe that'll help. Yeah. I don't know, kind of nebulous, kind of hard and to know.
Be sure you're following us instead of like looking us up every week that you know the episode comes out. Yeah, be sure you're like following us as well. That helps. Yeah, the algorithm,
you can subscribe
too.
To the RSS feed that we have if you're using an RSS feed, or any of those other things. Also, tell people about
the
it.
Link.
Word of mouth. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, in our show description, there will be, I guess, depending what platform you're on, if they carry the link over. But if you, there is a part that says follow us on all the things. And if you select that, it'll take you to our link tree, which links to all our different platforms and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So please do all that, word of mouth, all that stuff. Please tell people about us. We're making through Chihayafuru. You know, we'll be done.
Have a request for what we cover next?
No, we're not, we already know what we're doing covering next. We're not taking requests.
Oh, just kidding.
But what, if you have things you eventually want us to watch, we will then take some requests for some stuff if you really want us to cover something in the future. We have the next couple things planned out, but after that, you know.
We're flexible.
We're flexible.
Yeah, sweet. Yeah. Okay, cool. I know I slept in late this morning, but I desperately need a nap.
Are you serious? You just woke up like 2 hours ago.
I know, I'm tired.
Oh my God.
I just want to lay in my bed and be cozy. It's raining outside.
Something is deeply wrong here.
My warming pad. I don't know. I cleaned a bit. I vacuumed and I gotta make sure my place is pristine for when you come visit.
Uh-huh.
I don't want you to be like a crazy animal lady at this stinky place. I don't
Okay.
But
yeah, no problem.
Yeah, but it'll be fun. We'll be sure to record a podcast in person and maybe we'll do like a live stream thing on our Twitch channel, maybe. But yeah, so some extra content should be coming out of our real life interactions. We'll be going to a convention, so we'll be sure to spread the good word about the podcast. Because you guys super care about that. Anyways, we hope you enjoyed listening and that you're just dying to hear what happens next week. And have and happy holidays and all that good stuff. Did we learn anything, Joe?
Yeah. Don't push new members to the breaking point. Don't just like invite a bunch of people to play a game and then destroy them without holding back at all and then tell them you're gonna play 15 games in a row. I feel like that's a real good way to chase a bunch of people off. It worked out here for Chihaya, but I don't think you can replicate this in real life. I just don't.
You struggle to get the 5 members. Don't immediately send them off.
If you're able to convince 5 people to play a game you like, do not make it a miserable experience for them.
Yes, I can say personally, I've convinced no one to want to play this game with me. They've all been reluctant, and it's only been one time. So I understand the plight of getting people to play Karuta with you. It is tough. It's a tough sell.
Yeah.
But yeah. All right.
Maybe that says something about the game.
No, it's people. They don't want to push their brains.
Sure.
I'm lazy and I still like it. I'm bad at it and I still like it.
Mm-hmm.
But also, maybe it's just because I love this show and I just want to have a thing that's like the show. But yeah. Anyways, catch you next time.
Bye. Thank you.